Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
And here we go. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. I am your host extraordinaire, Cole Thompson, at Mr. Cole Thompson. If you want to find me on Twitter, we got Michael Hernandez producing on the other side of the glass, 800-224-2004. If you want to call in, talk all things about the NFL, about the MLB, about really anything that you want to talk about. Let's be real, about anything. I'm really down for it. Great second hour ahead, talking all things about college football. Is Justin Herbert on the rise to go into that Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, MVP, upper echelon type quarterback? And which quarterback would I take for the next 10 years and why? But I start the hour off with this. I have never wanted to see a team win more than the Iowa Hawkeyes. I want the Iowa Hawkeyes in the college football playoff. I want them curb stomping every team along the way. Because Kirk Ferentz, who, by the way, is a veteran coach. He's been around the block. He's seen it all. He's been the guy for many, many years up in Iowa at Kinnick Stadium. Bro went out of his way to make some comments. So anybody who watched the end of that Penn State game against Iowa, Iowa was able to get the big come from behind victory, but it took some time because several Penn State players would go down on drives defensively. They would act like they were injured. They'd come off the field. And then two plays later, they would return. So what's the reason behind this? Because they're trying to throw Iowa off its rhythm. They're trying to get them to make a mistake because of the time that's being processed. So Ferentz comes out on Monday and says, nobody wants to see anybody get hurt. But I think probably the booing is a reaction to a couple of guys that were down for the count. And then they came back in a player or two later. Our fans aren't stupid. They're watching. They know what's going on. They smelt a rat. Bro. The fact that Kirk Ferentz says, I smell a rat, is just so comical to me. Just straight up like, hey, I know what you're doing. Stop it. Stop it. I don't tell you with this BS. I don't do with this crap. You know the movie Lethal Weapon where Murtaugh's like, I'm too old for this stuff. I'm too old for this. Like, it's the same thing with Ferentz. It's like, dude, I know what you're doing. Knock this crap off and let's play football. If you can't do that, then we're going to have a lot of problems throughout the rest of the day. God. Please, Iowa, get into the college football playoff for all of our sake.
Time for the two-minute warning around the NFL. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Each and every day, we go around the NFL and get you caught up on things you might have missed. And we try to do it in about 2 minutes. That's why we call it the two-minute warning. Michael, start the clock.
When the Miami Dolphins head to New England to England to face the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday, they might have a familiar face in the center. Quarterback Tua Tagovailoa was officially designated to return to practice from injured reserve on Tuesday. Tagovailoa broke his ribs in a Week 2 loss against the Buffalo Bills, and the initial hope was he'd be back in time for Week 6, and Tuesday news is the first step towards that happening.
Well, that's good. Here's the reality of it. When you break it down pound for pound, Miami needs Tua. I don't think a lot of people understand. Like Miami may be interested in Deshaun Watson. They may be interested in adding in maybe Jimmy Garoppolo next year or something like that, if they don't believe that Tua can truly be the guy. But they need Tua. Like, it's very clear. Everybody was saying, oh, well, maybe Jacoby Brissett can figure it out. No. No. No, 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 no. Anybody out there who really thought Jacoby Brissett was better than Tua, you need to get your eyes checked, number one. And if you work in this industry and you think Jacoby Brissett's better than Tua, you probably need to get your mouth stapled shut because we don't need to hear that BS anymore. Go away. Bye-bye. Tua coming back does not solve all the issues for Miami. They still have a lot of issues defensively. Offensively, their offensive line is putrid. They have the number one worst rushing offense in the league. They're still allowing constant pressure. I think they're the most pressured team right now in the NFL. And for a young quarterback, that's not what you want to see. But they are still, I think, in the running to at least be a playoff team. Keep in mind that last season they did get 10 wins with very poor offensive line play, with no receivers, with nothing. So they still could probably figure out their season, turn it around, maybe get 10 wins once again, go to 10-7. But the reality is that Tua has to play well, number one, and number two, he has to remain healthy. If he can do that, I will at least say they will get a win this weekend. They'll improve to 2-4 on the season over the Jacksonville Jaguars. This will be a monumental game and basically a rematch from a few years ago when Tua had to take on Trevor Lawrence in the national championship. Tua was beaten to a pulp by the Clemson Tigers, and naturally afterwards, you saw the likes of Trevor Lawrence and the history of what he became turn into a folklore. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on the other side of the pond. I'll be waking up for that game. Will you? Well, I don't know. I mean, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. Some people do, some people don't. I mean, East Coast, it's 9 a.m. You should be up. You should be up and at them. You should be ready to go. Tip, pip, 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 cheerio. All right, good day, golly good stuff. Like, got to be up and get going on that one. So Tua coming back is really big news because, honestly, I thought Jacksonville was probably going to get this win without him.
The Arizona Cardinals plays outside linebacker Chandler Jones on the reserve COVID-19 list Tuesday, placing his availability for Sunday's game against the Cleveland Browns in at least temporary doubt. Per league rules, the vaccinated Jones must record 2 negative PCR tests for the virus at least 24 hours apart and be asymptomatic for 48 hours in order to return to the team.
Yeah, I mean, that's rough. What I will say is what's interesting is that ever since his hot start, the 5-sack start to begin the year, he has really kind of cooled off a little bit. You know, J.J. Watt's really kind of been picking it up. When you look at his numbers overall, he hasn't had a sack since that game. Like he had a 5-sack performance to begin the year, and we were all talking about how he was on pace if he was to have that 85 sacks in a single season, which, again, like, no, that was never going to happen. You can't expect 5 sacks every single game. But the fact that he hasn't had a sack since, and honestly, this team as a whole is really struggling to find sacks. Keep this in mind. The next guy on the team is Marcus Golden in sacks with 2, and everyone else has 1 or fewer. So it's a big deal because if he still is your sack leader, even if he hasn't been playing, what's really interesting about this Arizona team is they kind of are middle of the pack defensively in almost every single category. I believe that they're, I want to say they're like number 9 in pass defense. They allow a completion rating of, I think, 62.2%. So it's a little bit over the league average. But losing Chandler Jones for a game is very detrimental. Michael, do you know who they play this week? I'm trying to think. I think it's Cleveland is who they play on Sunday. And this is a good Cleveland team. This is a team that's playing a little pissed off. I think it's Cleveland.
Yes, the Browns.
All right, so it's the Browns. I think it, yeah, and it's at the Browns. I know that. It's an away game. So those are some concerns that I do have. If you're not able to pressure Baker Mayfield, and he could be playing shorthanded on the offensive line. Remember, Jack Conklin left that game on Sunday, and Jedrick Wills was inactive. So if he doesn't play, you're playing with 2 backup tackles. You want to be able to add pressure to Baker Mayfield as much as possible. I honestly could see this being an upset for the Cleveland Browns. They may be on my best bets this week. Just a preview for Friday to where you got to tune in from 4 to 6 a.m. I mean, 5 to 7 a.m. right here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Detroit Lions Center Frank Ragnow will miss the remainder of 2021 season following toe surgery, dealing a major blow to an 0-5 team that has struggled offensively. Ragnow suffered a turf toe injury in a week 4 loss to the Chicago Bears and was placed on the injured reserve list last week. The Lions offensive line has been playing shorthanded at offensive tackle as well, minus injured starter Tyler Decker.
So the reason I'm sad for this is because if Dan Campbell has become my next favorite coach, like the ultimate goal for this show before the year is over is to have him on to talk all things espresso and talk all things about coffee. I want to get his actual conversations on what's better. Is Peruvian blend or is Colombian blend better at coffee? I know Mike Austin's thinking on this.
You drink coffee, right?
I have one cup. I have one cup a day. I used to have like
you
four.
Need to drink two venti Jet Blacks like he does.
I've already told you. I will do the Dan Campbell challenge if he's willing to come on the show. I will gladly do it. I will do iced, but I will do the Dan Campbell challenge. I will do two shots of espresso and two venti black coffees. I will gladly do that. But Jared Goff, like I feel for the guy. Because if nobody believed that he was a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, nobody believed that. I didn't believe that. But I did believe that he was at least going to be able to be stable, even though there was no help for him in Detroit. There really is no help for him in Detroit anymore. You're out with your left tackle. Penei Sewell had a really good start to the season. He's kind of cooled off since. I don't think he's still allowed a sack, but he still has had some inconsistencies on the offensive line. And you lose your your all-pro center, which, by the way, a center is the most important player on the offensive line. I've said that time and time again. They may not get paid like it. The left tackle may actually be the quote-unquote more important position, but I look at the center position and how valuable it is to a quarterback, especially a quarterback who needs all the help in the world. Losing him is a very big deal, and I don't know if Detroit's going to be able to recover from this. Listen, they have some winnable games ahead. They really do. Either they were really going to pull it out and go ahead and beat up on the Minnesota Vikings and actually come back and pull it out. They have games against the Bengals, the Eagles, the Steelers, and the Bears coming up the next few weeks. Then they get the Broncos, maybe a Seattle team, and an Atlanta team. They're not going to be more than a 4-win team, but honestly, they may be, because of the loss of Ragnow and because of how inconsistent they are offensively with its weapons, they may actually be a 1-win team, a 2-win team. And even if that's not on Jared Goff, when you're that low, if there's a quarterback that improves that much, they're always going to take them. They're always going to take a franchise quarterback. I feel for Dan Campbell. I feel for Brad Holmes. I feel for this organization that's been playing very close games. Losing Ragnow is an actual very big deal. It's a very, very, very big deal for Detroit.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers announced Tuesday that they are removing John Gruden from the Buccaneers Ring of Honor. A day after Gruden resigned as Las Vegas Raiders head coach following the release of offensive emails in the wake of the articles in the Wall Street Journal and New York Times on Friday and Monday, respectively, and detailed Gruden's use of racist, homophobic, and misogynistic terms in emails reportedly dating back to 2010. Gruden resigned Monday as the Raiders head coach.
I mean, it had to happen. Like it had to happen. Like, everything about John Gruden is 100% going out the door at this point. Every single thing about John Gruden. We are never going to see John Gruden be in the same spotlight that we ever saw him before this. Ever again. They're going to erase everything about him. I have a problem with that. I don't have a... Okay, let me rephrase this real fast. Let me phrase this properly. That way nobody misquotes me on this. I do not have a problem with them removing him from the Ring of Honor. Absolutely, I understand it. I absolutely get it. I absolutely understand. For the fan bases, for anybody in there, you do not want anybody to feel like they are supportive of John Gruden. But we cannot forget about history. We cannot just push this under the rug and pretend it never happened. I see this time and time and time and time and time and time again in all aspects of life. It happened. It's a teachable moment. We need to make sure that we hold everybody accountable for their mistakes. Everybody. And learning lessons like this need to be kept in the spotlight. We cannot push them underneath the rug and just pretend like it didn't happen. So I'm going to tell you guys right now, the NFL, by all means, take him out of the Ring of Honor. Make sure that he is not represented by the Oakland Raiders or the Las Vegas Raiders now in any capacity. You can all do that. But we must not forget about how this happened, how this unfolded, how comments made by the head coach of an NFL team. By the way, an NFL team that has had an openly gay player, had the first female executive, and on top of all that, the first Latino coach to win a Super Bowl. We have to remember that those comments were not warranted in 2010, and they're not warranted now. We can't just push this under the rug and pretend it didn't happen. So we have to keep this at the forefront. Take him out of the Ring of Honor all you want, but Tampa Bay and all 31 NFL teams need to remind its players, its coaches, and its executives. That's the big one. The executives. You are not above society ranks. And if you think you are and you think that this is okay, you can get out of the NFL now. because this is no place for it. I'm all for cutting him out of the Ring of Honor. I'm not for brushing this underneath the rug and pretending like it didn't happen. There you have it. 2 minute warning. Right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life your battery has left? Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. The professional parts people will test your battery for free, and if it does need to be replaced, they'll help you find it in just the right fit for your car. Superstar batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day. So, conversation had earlier this week. What quarterback would I run with for the next 10 years? What quarterback would I go with for the next decade? That's a very interesting question because of everyone is looking for it. So I'll do this real fast. I will take out the big name quarterbacks. I'm gonna focus in on five guys. I think five quarterbacks really can make this conversation very easy for me overall. So let's start off. Number one is Lamar Jackson. Number two is Joe Burrow. Number three is Justin Herbert. Number four is Trevor Lawrence. And I'll go number five, Kyler Murray. I'll go with those five. Who would be the quarterback I'd go with the next 10 years? Well, I'm going to go from top to bottom, and I'm going to take this out of the conversation. Let's start off with this. Whatever team they play for now, they're out of the conversation. So I'm not going to put Joe Burrow on the Cincinnati Bengals and say I'm going to run with him for 10 years. I'm not going to put Justin Herbert on the Los Angeles Chargers and say I'm going to run with him for 10 years. I'm just going to put them on a normal conversation, and as soon as that's it, we're done. That's what it is, okay? That way everyone knows that. So let's look from top to bottom where I think that they are. Right now, in last place, I would go Kyler Murray. And the only reason I do is not just because of size. It's because of I'm not sure he's as good as he's coming as advertised. That doesn't mean that he's not good. What this means is, even though he's improved, look at the team. It's also improved around him. Since he arrived in Arizona, the offensive line has gotten better, and yet he still is too mobile at times. When you also look at where the team is, where the team's directive was this offseason, it was to bring in leaders to pair up with already good marquee name players. But you have a guy like DeAndre Hopkins as your number one receiver. Rondale Moore has really impressed in the past several weeks. And then you also have guys such as AJ Green on the roster for that veteranship, Christian Kirk, who's been around for a hot minute, stuff along that. If you take them out, is he as successful with a wide receiver core in Jacksonville? Is he as successful as a wide receiver core in Houston? Those are some things that I have some concerns about. Because a quarterback can always elevate your terrible wide receiver core. You can't always say that about your quarterback. Now, a wide receiver can't always elevate your poor quarterback play. That just can't happen. That really just can't happen overall. So I consider that when looking at the basis. I would go number four, Joe Burrow. And that's not an insult to Joe Burrow, because I do think Joe Burrow is good. But Joe Burrow's a bit of a risk taker, and there are times you don't need to be that. Michael, let me ask you a question. If you hurt yourself, are you going to do the same thing to hurt yourself last time?
No.
Yeah, you learn from it,
yes.
Right? Okay, so I'll tell you a story right now. There was one time when I was in college, I did some dumb stuff. I did a lot of stuff. One of the biggest dumb things I did was I got dared by a buddy of mine to just drop straight. There was a cliff in Tuscaloosa. So we'd go cliff jumping, like, all the time. It was like 95 feet up. It was high. Like, it was high. But somebody said, just drop straight down. So just go, bloop. I dropped straight down. I immediately hit ground. I was lucky I didn't break a leg. I was lucky I didn't do anything. They said, hey, I bet you won't do it again. You're right. I will not do that again. Joe Burrow plays so aggressively with his body, he's going to put himself in situations to where I think he gets hurt. What was really interesting was on the Pat McAfee show earlier this week, Aaron Rodgers went on and he talked about how the quarterback position, he wishes he could tell Andrew Luck a few years ago. Hey, dude, start sliding. Hey, dude, go down. Don't always run for the football. Because of what happened was one of the greatest quarterbacks that we've ever seen in the generation of the sport disappeared because of injuries, because of a poor offensive line, because Indianapolis refused to pay top dollar to protect him. And guess what? It's the same thing happening over again in Cincinnati. Now, behind a great offensive line, by all means, he should have better protection. But at the same time, I'm telling you this because I think it's a big deal to mention. Let's look at Joe Burrow. He's still too aggressive. I don't want that kind of aggressive player. Number three is Trevor Lawrence. Listen, Trevor Lawrence, I think, could absolutely be a superstar in the NFL. But he hasn't shown me anything to where he is or isn't. So I can't put him in that category just yet because I don't know much about him. Maybe he will turn out to be a superstar elite player. Maybe he won't. Maybe he'll just be a middle-of-the-tier quarterback pack. Again, a lot of people, I talked to like 10 scouts about Trevor Lawrence. And everyone said the same thing. Yes, he is a generational talent. So I asked them, what's his floor? His floor is Matt Ryan. Very good quarterback who can play up to 4,000 passing yards every single season, 30 touchdowns, probably about 9 to 12 interceptions, a passer rating of over 100, a QBR rating of over 80, and just on a bad team. Like that's his floor. His ceiling is so high, nobody knows what it is. Right now, the way that Urban Meyer is and the team that he plays for, and even if he does stay on the team for the next two decades, they're still going to be a very subpar team if they don't get the right coach and the right GM. Guess what? They don't have the right coach and the right GM. I don't know if he works for a team that isn't built around him yet either. You know, if you put him in Baltimore, I think he's very successful. If you put him in Cincinnati, I think he's successful. You put him in L.A., oh my God, he is going to the Super Bowl year one with either L.A. team. Jacksonville, bad offensive line, bad weapons around him. I can't trust him just yet. Now, here's the real question. Do I go with the more mobile quarterback in Lamar Jackson, or do I go with the young gun, gunslinger in Justin Herbert? That's the big question. 800-224-2004. Call in and give me your answer on what you think. I'll go positives for both, and I'll go negatives for both. Number one, the positive for Lamar Jackson. He's mobile, but he has also got an arm. Like, that's the biggest thing. I'll be the first to say it. I just said this earlier on the show today. I do not want to hear one more time. Lamar Jackson is pretty good for a not going to even say the word, because guess why? Because if we're going to paint the narrative, and I don't want to hear that narrative, because it's a stupid narrative and it's been debunked for the last 2 years, and the fact that people are bringing it up pisses me the heck off.
He's pretty good for a quarterback.
Yeah, he's very good for a quarterback. Now, the other thing is that with the mobility, he's allowed to be able to kind of have a little bit more consistency on the floor. On top of that, he also does a very good job with pocket awareness and vision downfield. He's also gotten very good at extending plays with his arm. You know, it's not just him, moving outside the pocket and eventually bailing to go run. He's moving outside the pocket and now delivering downfield. I think if you add in another wide receiver, which, by the way, they're getting Rashad Bateman back next week, that's really going to be beneficial for the Ravens to be able to get an elevated passing game. Now, the negatives. He does run a little too much. That does not mean that that's a bad thing. You know who else runs a little too much? Joe Burrow runs a little too much. Kyler Murray runs a little too much. A lot of quarterbacks run a little too much. That's not a thing about him that's being mobile. Josh Allen runs a little too much. I'd rather Josh Allen just throw the ball away sometimes than risk getting an injury to the leg that's a torn ACL, a ruptured Achilles, to where he's out for the season. So that's a concern I have. Now, Justin Herbert. Let's talk about him. Herbert is a gun thrower. Kid has all the potential. But what's really interesting about him is I've watched his tape from college. And honestly, it's funny to me how everyone overthought Joe Burrow. They really did. They all overthought what Joe Burrow could be in the NFL. And when I look at Justin Herbert. They all overlooked Justin Herbert in the NFL. Everyone had like a small little quip about him. Something like, his timing was off by like this much. I just don't see how he's going to be able to adapt when he's trying to throw at a 0.24 target, and Sadie's point that he's throwing at like a 0.38. Like, people were like that nitpicky with him, and he ended up crushing it last year. Now, the negative with him is that he's finally making the right calls with the right coaching staff. Is he all coaching, or is he able to adapt in a bad system? So who do I go with long term? Ultimately, I feel more comfortable with a guy like Justin Herbert, to where I think I can get the most out of him, to where also I don't think he's hit his full potential just yet going into his age 23 season. Lamar, I don't think, has hit his full potential either, but I know what Lamar's overall skill set is. Sometimes it's better to be a little bit surprised at what someone has than what you already know. With that in mind, Herbert feels like the right answer.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Cole Thompson.
So, Michael and I have been a little lazy on this. We're not going to do this anymore because I really want this to kind of be a staple of the show. There's some things that, like, everybody has. You know how I do two-minute warning every single day? I have buy or sell. I have best bets and all that. Again, I'm very much against these stupid, pointless holidays every single day, and there's always, like, now 20 on one day. So we're going to pick which one is every single day, and I'm going to come up with a segment name for it tomorrow. I will find out what it is. But, yeah, what is October 13th's holiday, National Day?
We got a few.
Okay, I'm going to pick which one is the right one.
National Bring Your Teddy Bear to Work / School Day.
What the? Okay. I have a teddy bear, and I'll tell you the story. This is a very short, but it's a very fun story. When I was about 8 years old, my grandmother and I used to always go play bingo right in Conroe, Texas. We loved it. It was a great day. She enjoyed herself playing bingo, and they had this crane machine, and I won my grandfather a teddy bear, and it was a New York Giants teddy bear, huge Giants fan, and when he passed away, I asked for two things. I asked for his crucifix, and I asked for that teddy bear back, and that teddy bear sits on my bed every single day as a reminder that my grandfather is always with me. I would never, ever, 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 ever bring it into the studio. I would never, ever, 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 ever bring it into an office. I would never do that. What is next on the list?
Today's the Navy's birthday.
Okay, that's really hard to beat. Just go to the next one.
National Yorkshire Pudding Day.
No. Yorkshire pudding, by the way, is not American. It is not American. And by the way, we're the only country that does these stupid holidays. So guess what? Yorkshire pudding, get out, yeet out of this conversation.
National Train Your Brain Day.
I train my brain every day. I treat my body like a temple, according to what... What is her dang name off of the Golden Girls? It's one of the best lines of all time. Because Sophia, I know, comes back at her. Blanche DuBois. She goes, I treat my body like a temple. Yeah, it's open. Day or night. Like, it's my favorite line in the entire series. No, that's all I'm going to think of when training your brain. No. Out.
National Take Your Parents to Lunch Day.
I should do that. I really should take my mom to lunch today. Mom, if you listen to the show, I may call you up. We may go to lunch. It's still not a good enough holiday. You should take your parents to lunch once a week if you get the opportunity to.
National Stop Bullying Day.
No, because of every day should be National Stop Bullying Day. Nobody should feel like they're uncomfortable being bullied. I was bullied when I was a kid. I know that there was a lot of people who were bullied when they were a kid. And any single time I see somebody get bullied, I try to talk up and speak against it. So every day should be National Bullying Day. It's not one of those things where it's like, bullies are for bullies. Bully. Like, is that just that one day where we all just go, hey, man, you're a good kid. It's like, stop it.
National No Bra Day.
We're going to pass on that one. Just go.
National Metastatic Breast Cancer Awareness Day.
Okay, I get that Breast Cancer Awareness Month is all of October, so I'm not going to give it one day when we give it a whole month when we should be actually paying attention to making sure that we are protecting that. So, no, I'm not going to do that. And give me one more, and I want to see if it beats the Navy's birthday.
I'll give you three quick ones.
Okay.
National Fossil Day, National Emergency Nurses Day, and National Curves Day.
National what day?
Curves.
Like your body figure?
Let me see if it says. It says... National Curves Day is the second Wednesday in October. It recognizes plus-size women and men all across the country.
Listen, I get curves. I totally understand it. There's nothing wrong with curves whatsoever. What I will say is it does not beat the Naval's birthday. The Navy has been a huge part of our military branch. More importantly, it is a staple of our community. Thousands of men and women sacrifice their lives day in and day out to fight on enemy sidelines to be able to protect our country day in and every single moment so we can sleep well at night. We got to make it a holiday. I'm putting it into consideration on the Just Say It National Holiday Day. It is the National Naval Day. Congratulations, you have won the bet. Let's go on to the conversation about Justin Herbert. I know I kind of spent a little bit of time with him earlier, but I want to talk about this real fast because of everybody is mentioning how Justin Herbert right now has Los Angeles winning and in first place inside of the inside the AFC West. What's interesting is right now, if you look at all the quarterbacks in the division, who is number one by team, they're usually led by the best quarterback. Let's put this into consideration. The AFC East is leading by Buffalo. They have Josh Allen. Plain and simple, he is the best quarterback in the AFC East. The Baltimore Ravens are leading the AFC North, and Lamar Jackson is their quarterback. I would argue that Joe Burrow and Baker Mayfield are close behind, but right now it's Lamar Jackson. In the AFC South, it's Ryan Tannehill. I do think that Tannehill needs to play more consistently because if he is starting to dipper a little bit, but the way that he has played has kept this team inside of games along with Derrick Henry. And then, of course, you go to the NFC East. You have Dak Prescott, easily the best quarterback. NFC North, it's Aaron Rodgers, easily the best quarterback. NFC South, it's Tom Brady, easily the best quarterback. And if you go to the NFC West right now, Kyler Murray is playing like the best quarterback in the division. So, yes, they are leading. But people are saying, oh, we're going to put this guy in the same category as Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that that's right. I don't. But here's what I will say about this. When I look right now at the way the NFL is and the way that any team can go on any given Sunday, what I look at right now is any given moment, Tom Brady at one point could have been the second best quarterback in the AFC. He absolutely could have. Because Ben Roethlisberger, and I bring this stat up not because of I think that Big Ben and Justin Herbert are the exact same quarterback, but there were multiple times where Ben Roethlisberger played on a worse team than Tom Brady, but had better numbers than TB12. Keep in mind, there were multiple seasons where Big Ben had a better passer rating, had a better completion rating, had a better QBR, less turnovers, and more touchdowns than Tom Brady. Multiple times. Let's go ahead. In 2013, he had a better passer rating. He had a better completion rating at 64.2%. Brady had a 60.5. He had more passing yards, 4,952. Tom Brady had 4,336. He had more touchdowns, 32 versus 25, and he had less interceptions. He had a 9, and he had a better passer rating. It happens. It happens. There are some seasons where the quarterback that everybody says is the greatest is not the greatest that season. Does that mean that he is the greatest, you know, all time still? Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's a person out there who's going to argue that Patrick Mahomes is a top 5 quarterback in the NFL, and arguably he's a top 3 quarterback in the NFL. What I think more so people are understanding is the way that Justin Herbert's mind is built, the way that Justin Herbert can dissect things, can dissect offenses, learn a brand new system in less than 6 months, and be able to go out and make a ton of plays to keep his team in contention, those are some things that are just not teachable. That's why he's a franchise quarterback and why I do think he can work on any single roster. That's the big conversation mark here. It's not the fact that I think that that Justin Herbert is a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. He may be playing better than him today, but all time, I think Patrick Mahomes is better. But the fact of the matter is that everyone slept on Justin Herbert. I was the only person who didn't. I had him as QB2. What was funny is I actually thought he was going to be a better prospect than Joe Burrow. I really did. And a lot of people were like, no, you didn't. Yes, I did. You want to know why? Because I also thought that Josh Allen was going to be a better prospect than Lamar Jackson and Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. I thought that he was the best quarterback in the draft class. And everybody else was like, oh, no, you're stupid. Well, I'm not that stupid now, am I? Same thing with Justin Herbert. Same thing. I thought that he was going to be an excellent quarterback. And when he got drafted by Los Angeles, I kind of became a Chargers fan. Just a little bit. Just because I like the Chargers. I think that they're a very interesting team. That doesn't mean that he is at that same level as Patrick Mahomes. What it means is there's always going to be a time where the greatest quarterback actually has lesser numbers than another quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger, time and time again, went pound for pound with the likes of Tom Brady inside the division. That didn't mean that he was better than TB12. It just meant that season he had better numbers. Production-wise, maybe Justin Herbert is better this season than Patrick Mahomes. And that leads him to end up being in the MVP conversation while Mahomes is kind of flat. it doesn't mean over the next 20 years that Mahomes is not going to be the best quarterback in his division. It does not mean that Patrick Mahomes is not going to be the best quarterback in the NFL. In fact, I would probably argue with you that he is going to be still the best quarterback in the NFL. Let's talk a little bit of college. This is a very big weekend. I don't think a lot of people are talking about how big of a weekend this is in football. Kentucky, of all teams, Kentucky. Think about that for a second. I never thought we'd be talking about Kentucky and Georgia being a marquee game. This is one of the biggest games of the season. And I will say this. I do believe that there's one team, because this happens every single year. Georgia's hot. Georgia's consistent. Georgia plays great football, and they blow one game. They blow one game every single year. Last year was Alabama. The year before that, it was South Carolina. They find a way to lose to where they don't go undefeated in the season. But I will say that right now, if there's one team that can beat up on Georgia, it's Kentucky. Kentucky's the one team that I think will be able to get them to go have a one-loss record going into the SEC championship. Because I don't think that Kentucky will be undefeated this year. I don't think Kentucky will be able to go all the way. I think they'll lose two games, but I'm not sure that this is the one. What's the biggest key about defeating the likes of Georgia? One, your offensive line has to be able to protect, because that defensive line is stagnantly good. That defense is so dang scary. They're allowing the fewest rushing yards in the college football. They're one of the best pass defenses. I think that they rank number two in pass defense. They're number one in total in scoring defense. They're elite. Kentucky right now can score. They can score on the ground. They can score through the air. And more importantly, they have a very good offensive line. An offensive line that can protect a guy like Will Levis every single snap. The other thing you got to keep in mind, their defense has been playing lights out as well. Probably they've been playing a little bit better time and time again against the run. You got to be able to stop the pass, but this is the big deal, is that this will be the first game that I think either JT Daniels or Stetson Bennett, whoever is the quarterback, will actually feel some pressure. You won't be able to go ahead and just trust that your ground game of Zamir White and James Cook and I'm blanking on the other two kids' names right now, but the four-man running back group that you have will be able to carry the load, and you'll be able to pass 12 times. Like, you're not going to be able to rely on that. You're going to have to pass for 20, 30 times. And if JT Daniels can't play in this game, it does, I think, lead a little bit more in favor of Kentucky. Now, the biggest thing is that we had this conversation a few weeks ago when Arkansas and their offensive line and their run game was able to come into Athens, Georgia, and be able to say, hey, we belong in that conversation of top-tier, upper-echelon-style teams in the SEC. And what happened? Nope. No, you weren't. The difference was Kentucky has an offensive line that I think is a little bit more produced. I think they're a little bit more predominant. I think that they have a little bit more flair to them. And also they have, I think, just as strong as a run game, even though it's just one big runner in Chris Rodriguez. Defensively, they're able to make some key stops as well. And I think the biggest thing that comes down to is, can Will Levis score? If Will Levis can put some points up through the air and beat up on this pass defense, guess what? This will be the toughest challenge that I think Georgia sees all season. And if Georgia's able to get past the likes of this team, if Georgia's able to get past the likes of Kentucky, give them their first loss on the year, they're easily the best team in the country. They absolutely are the best team in the country. But what I will say is sometimes history has a fun way of showing off and giving you a bit of a standard. Keep in mind that the last time Kentucky was defeated was in 1951. You know who was alive during that time? None of us. Do you want to know who the head coach was when the last time Kentucky was defeated? A guy by the name of Paul Bryant. For any of you who don't know who that is, it's the Bear. The guy who won 6 national titles at Alabama. The guy who became a staple of college football. Produced the Houndstooth hat and built a dynasty while he was in Tuscaloosa. Before he ever did anything else, before he went to Texas A&M with the Junction Boys, before he found himself in Tuscaloosa being a champion, it was Kentucky. Mark Stoops right now is playing himself into a mega contract or potentially a high-end job in football. I know that the spread right now is very high. I think it's like 11.5 for Georgia. Honestly, I would lower it. I very much would, because if I believe this Kentucky team could be something special. We'll close out just saying it right after this.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Cole Thompson.
One final thought, as I do every day right here on Just Saying It. God, I love the heroes. Those are the people who stand by their franchise no matter what happens, good or bad, through and through. They are the staple and the top of the organization for their team, and they are the leaders. And when called upon most, they deliver. As much as I love Josh Hader and as much as I love the Milwaukee Brewers and how much I actually believe they could go pound for pound with the San Francisco Giants or the Los Angeles Dodgers, guess what? It was all ruined by one man. His name, Freddie Freeman.
First pitch, fly ball, deep center, going back, Kane, at the wall, that is gone! Freddie! First pitch, and he sends a shockwave to the ballpark, and they're going crazy here in Atlanta.
That call brought to you by 680 AM, The Fan in Atlanta, Georgia. Freddie Freeman. I mean, what an absolute hero he is for Atlanta, and what a great player he's been. For the Atlanta Braves to go from having Hank Aaron to Chipper Jones to now Freddie Freeman as the face of the franchise, it's an absolute delight. Braves move on. I cannot wait to see how this offense is going to respond to either San Francisco or Los Angeles, but I may start actually believing that the Braves, they got something in the water down in the ATL. It's going to be very interesting to see. All right, that does it for me. I'll preview Thursday Night Football tomorrow, talk all things college football, and let's talk MLB postseason. Have a good day. Later!